Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Praise your name. Bless your name. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Well, you just never know what's going to happen. We just come to meet with God, you know, and be with each other and say, Lord, whatever you want to do, just give us ears to hear your voice. We want to hear clearly. Amen. So we can speak clearly, because his words are life. They are spirit and they are life. You cannot observe a word in a test tube. It is an invisible force, isn't it? But first there is the sound of his voice, and then there is the creation. Likewise, there is power of life and death in our tongue, and so we need to agree with heaven and speak what he is speaking and do what he is doing. So we need to know his voice, to learn his voice, so that we can distinguish his voice from all other voices. My sheep hear my voice. Amen. I know them. They follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. How many here today say, I hear his voice. I can hear his voice. I know his voice. Amen. Because the world is offering all kinds of different Jesuses today, you know. A Jesus of your own choosing. Oh, your Jesus is like this. You know, oh, my Jesus is like that. You know, I have my little Jesus on my dash of my car, you know, and with a bobblehead, you know. And now we've got all kinds of Jesuses, but we need to know the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to the Father. He is sovereign, and he's coming to rule. He's coming to reign. Jesus, he's coming to rule. He's coming to reign. Jesus. Hallelujah. And Lord, we say, rule in us. Reign in our hearts, Lord. We want to know you. We want to hear you. We want to follow you. We want to be like you. Change me, Lord. Change us, God. Make us like you. Lead us in your paths of righteousness. For your name's sake, that we might glorify you, Lord, in every place. That we may make you known authentically, accurately. Lord, you said that those who believe you, as the scripture said, out of their belly will flow rivers of living water. God, let us be that vessel that you flow in and out of, Lord, and touch and refresh and revive and restore and heal through. We just want to love you, Jesus, back. How can we say thank you? How can we love you back? Folks, that's what worship is. Amen. It's not just singing songs and clapping. It's about loving God back with our lives, offering our bodies back to him as a living sacrifice. And what a joy it is to be in the purpose of God, the purpose for which you were created. And I'll say this again because it's so true, but never love your life more than the purpose for which it was given to you. Never love your life more than your purpose, your God-given purpose. Because if you do, you will never be a disciple. You'll never be a follower of Jesus. If any man will come after me, let him deny. It means to disown, utterly disown yourself. He didn't say hate yourself. He says forget about yourself. Let me be the center. You know, the world is all saying, we're trying to find our center. You know, let Jesus be the center. Amen. If you find the center of you, you're not going to like what you find. Because you'll find in that old Adamic nature, there's a connection to the seed of the devil. Amen. He's an ugly one, and you don't want to see that. But God is good, and in the new creation, we have a new identity, a new life, and it's a wonderful way. It's a new way. It's a living way, and it's his way. It's not my way, but it's his way. When you're walking in the way with him who is the way, you will know the way. And you know, if we walk in the light as he, Jesus, is in the light, we will have fellowship one with another. You know, we can get together and be a crowd, right? You know what I'm saying? You can go eat popcorn at a movie with people and you're identifying with the popcorn in the movie, right? But that's a crowd. But when we walk in the light as the Lord is in the light, He is the light, as we walk in Him, then we have true fellowship in the Spirit. And the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. And there's no more competition. Amen? There's no more competing. There's no more comparing. Because we realize we're all part of something much bigger than we are. We're part of God's body. Amen? The body of Christ. And so we need to celebrate who we are together in our diversities, our differences, our different giftings, and know that God gifted us differently for a reason. Just like each member of your physical body has a part. Amen? I know a guy that could walk effectively on his hands. But, you know, you're still limited if you're trying to do a handstand, right? And walk around all day like that. It gets tiring. I knew this guy. He used to, I'm off on a rabbit trail already. But he used to, when I was in the Army, we lived up on the third floor. And he'd walk on his hands all the way down and out the formation. Yeah. But how many know that's dysfunctional, right? There's something wrong with him. No. But, you know, sometimes we try to be someone we're not. And you know what? We need to find contentment in who we are in Him. He made me. I didn't make myself. So I'm just, okay, Lord, you want me to be this and to do this? Great. I'm content. I'm happy with that. I just want to know at the end of the day, at the end of my life, really, that I've done what you called me to do. You know, it's not how many or how big it's did I do what I was called to do. Was I faithful in my assignment while I was here? Amen. You're not responsible, folks, for something that God didn't tell you to do. You know, sometimes in our navigation and our journey to discover who we are, we try this and we try that. How many have been, right? We're just sampling this. Maybe this is where I fit. Or maybe that's where I fit. But the desire of our hearts is to be in the center of the will of God and to do just that. Amen? I don't see Jesus burning out with ministry. He says, my yoke is and my burden is, because He was in the will of the Father, and that's where the grace was. When you're in the will of God for your life, that's where the grace is. You can't force growth. Amen? Let me try to force your kids to grow. I've tried to force people to grow. It don't work. You got to let God do that work. Amen? All we simply are is a vessel that yields to God, hears His voice, says what He says. And these words I speak unto you, Jesus said, are spirit and their life. They're life-giving. So when we are in agreement with the Spirit of God and we are speaking what He is speaking, the result will be life. Have you ever sat under a message that might have been theologically correct, but spiritually you felt like you were almost drained after listening to it? Yeah. That's because we're not speaking what He's speaking. We may have thrown something together, you know, or pulled something out of the refrigerator, threw it back in the microwave, and we're going to dish it out, you know. But, you know, folks, I prepare messages, but I always seek the Lord and I say, God, just use me as a vessel. I want to hear Your voice, Lord. And I'm asking You for fresh bread. We want fresh bread, amen. And sometimes, you know, we have to abide in the doctrines. We have to do teachings, of course. Amen. But in the midst of that, we need to be listening for the voice of God. We need to be discovering where God is at. Have you ever been reading the Bible and all of a sudden something just kind of pops off the page? You know, just it highlights, you know, it's like the Spirit is saying, there, pay attention. I'm speaking to you here. And as you begin to focus where God is at on what He's saying, then He begins to open it up to you, and it's called revelation. He begins to reveal Himself, the person of who He is, through that word. Amen? So like the old hymn says, we got to get beyond the sacred page to the substance, right? Beyond the sacred page, I seek Thee, Lord. My spirit pants for Thee, O living word. I want to know Jesus. we cannot survive. We cannot make it apart from Him. Amen. You can listen to all the seminars, go to all the seminars, listen to all the speakers. Folks, if our heart isn't tuned into His voice, come on, somebody. If we're not hearing God, if we're not listening to God, what an awesome message last week. Amen. A couple series of messages from Brother Chris about the Torah, you know, the word. And as it flows, it's living, you know, as we're in obedience to what the voice of God is saying to us. And there's healing in the Word of God. Amen. It's the Word that heals. He sent His Word and healed their disease. So God, we just thank You today for Your amazing grace and for Your wonderful Word. Well, I'm going to try to stay on theme here today. But just to recap, we've been talking about the love of God, the agape love of God. And you know, the word love has been abused so much today. It gets used in so many different contexts. And much of what is being presented as love really isn't love at all. Often it's selfishness. And so, like the song that Foreigner put out a few years ago, I want to know what love is. And how many know that only Jesus can show you what real love is, what it looks like? And it's not hypocritical love. It's sincere. It's a love that is sacrificial. It is a love that loves the object that's being loved regardless of its value. In other words, God's love is to love something even worthless. Now, you don't redeem something that is worthless, amen? But you think about it, folks. Compared to Him, we don't even come close. While we were yet in sin, Christ died. When we were still enemies, actually enemies to God, God so loved the world. You see, God loved the unlovely. He loved you and I who really could not do anything back for Him. God's love is a love that says, I'm going to love you regardless. It's not the worldly love or the eros love or the storge, the mother love that says, I have love, but this is a love with benefits. You know? Well, I'll love, but what do I get in return for it? See, that's the center of that is self. When we're loving with an agenda, we're actually self-centered and not Christ-centered. We love the unlovely. God loved you, right? He loved me. We love those people who can't do anything back for you. That's God's love. That kind of love, amen, is that I'm not doing this even because it makes me feel good. What if Jesus woke up one day and went out to minister and he had a bad day and people didn't say, Jesus, you're awesome. That was wonderful. And you know, what if Jesus said, man, well, they don't appreciate anything I do for them. You see, God loved us anyways. Even the ones that crucified Him, that beat and mocked and spat on Him and treated Him so terribly, He hung on that cross and He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That is God's kind of love. It's the kind of love where a person will give themselves for a brother. Amen? Lay down their life for a friend. That's the kind of love that the church is supposed to express. We're supposed to demonstrate the love, the heart of the Father, by being a vessel that just simply says, God, I'm just here to love you back. Out of appreciation, how can I say thank you back? How can I serve you? How many here are serving the Lord? Amen. How many here are not serving the Lord? Do you understand, folks? Sometimes even we serve in the church or we get involved in ministry, but sometimes it's really about us and not about people. Because sometimes it's about, look at me. Sometimes it's about getting attention. Sometimes it's about feeling appreciated or being important. Do you understand? That's not God's love. That's eros love. That is, if you will, the feeling of love. It is more than just, you know, I'm in this because I get something back. We like to go out and minister to people, don't we? But folks, what if you go and minister to people and they hate you? What if they throw back what you just gave them? You know, what if they mistreat you? Can you actually love an enemy? We're supposed to. How can I love an enemy? How can I love somebody that mistreats me? It's not just about forgiving that person, but actually to be able to love an enemy. Jesus says what? Love your enemies. You remember Peter? Peter didn't understand. He thought he could do it. He thought he could live for Jesus. He thought that in himself, he had what it was required to be a man of God. But Jesus said, Peter, guess what? You're going to be facing a time of testing here because you need to realize that what you're called to do is much bigger than you. It's beyond what you're humanly capable of doing. And you're going to come to a place in your life where you will realize that except by the Lord in His grace, you're not able to do zero. Amen? Because apart from me, Jesus said, you can do zero. You can do nothing. And so, yeah, we get ideas and we get ambitions and we get goals and we get these big dreams of having this thing and that thing. And how often are they just about us? What if nobody notices? What if nobody shakes your hand? What if nobody says, good job, nice message? Or I was really blessed by what you said? No. We can't help but love if we're full of love. If we have the love shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, if God is there, amen, and the Lord is reigning in our hearts, then it's not about the response. Right. You know, sometimes people even fall and they leave ministry because they don't feel appreciated. Folks, whenever I get into that thing where I feel like I'm not being appreciated, or even when I'm not seeing the fruit that I really want to see, like right now, right? It's usually an indication that I'm focusing on self. I'm just keeping it real here. Because we don't realize sometimes how full of ourselves we really are. Other people will see it. Boy, are you full of yourself? They won't say it. They're just thinking, man, Mr. Narcissist over there. But we want to present Jesus. A true prophet represents the one who sent him. Amen? An ambassador represents the one who sent him. And they're not there with their own agenda. They're there to represent the King. Amen? That's what we're called to do, to represent the King. So, Lord, make me a vessel. Make me a vessel. Prepare me to be that sanctuary. Lord, purify my heart's desires so that I love without receiving or expecting to receive anything back. So, you know, God's faithful. He says, if you give, you shall receive, right? Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. God is a giver. And God will bless those who bless others. Amen. But the motivation of the heart is not with the agenda of, I'm going to give Don a call today and just say, hey, man, how's it going today? And hopefully he'll say, oh, man, you're such an awesome man of God. Of course he will. That's why I call him. You know, it makes me feel good. So, but, you know, we serve an awesome God. It's not the man, it's the God of the man. Amen? Amen? And the same thing is, we want to just be vessels that people see Jesus in. Amen. That when they look at us and when we speak and that we're expressing Him and they're saying, that's the kind of fruit I'm looking for. No, not you. I'm talking about what you have. That's what I want. I want Jesus. Because if we present ourselves to people, folks, in the context of ministry, that's all they get. And how many that know that you and I can't change anybody? I've tried it. You try to change your kids, you know God can do it. Now, it doesn't mean we're irresponsible and we don't teach our children, right? We need to teach our children. And we need to enforce the rules. But regardless, we need God's grace. We need His ability. God is teaching us how to lean on Him, how to depend on Him. God is breaking us. God is bringing us to a place where we're like that stubborn mule, amen, that has to be put through the process so that it becomes user-friendly. And oh, how we love the process. But the process is necessary, isn't it? It's all good. Doesn't God say in His Word in Romans 8:28, He will work all things together for the good? I believe that. I've camped on that many times when things have not gone the way I expected. But there again, there's self again. My expectation is, God, You're supposed to do it this way. God constantly surprises me. I'm knocking on this door and wondering why it don't open up, and all of a sudden, boom, a side door opens up. Oh, you're over there. Right? He does that. He surprises us. But He's faithful. He's faithful to us. You know, if we did things the way we thought they should be done, we'd be in a mess. In fact, I was in a mess one time for that very reason. Because I did it my way. And my way was the way of death. Don't be following Hollywood, amen? Don't be following the world's patterns. We're to follow the Lord. Well, today, that was the introduction. I want to talk about the second Adam in contrast to the first Adam. In the fifth chapter of Romans, chapter 5, verse 14, one verse I want to begin with here. Romans chapter 5, verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even all over those who had not sinned, according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him to come. So Adam is a type of him to come. We look at Adam and we see a type or shadow of Christ. Amen? So how is Adam like Jesus? Well, Adam was formed without sin. Amen? Jesus was without sin. In relationship to Eve. You know? God came together in a supernatural conception. It was called, you know, the incarnation, where the seed, the Son, the Word, became a seed, was planted in the womb of a woman who had never known a man. She was a virgin, a true virgin. Because, again, the bloodline can be linked to the Father. And so Jesus was not conceived by Joseph, amen, but the Bible says the Holy Spirit will overshadow the virgin, and that which is born of her will not be born of man, or the will of man, or the flesh, but will be born of God. So Jesus was without sin because the seed was from the Father, amen, and not from Adam's race, or from Joseph, or some other man. So, likewise, Eve was created from Adam, for Adam. He took her out of Adam and brought her back to Him, and the two became one flesh. So likewise, believers are born of Christ and for Christ. We're born of Christ and for Christ. And Adam said in Genesis 2:23, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. But then in John 1 and verse 12, this is where we're speaking of Christ, the second Adam. It says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And so Paul described the church as being the body of what? Christ. Ephesians 5:30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh and bones. Interesting that he uses flesh and bones here. Because he's giving us the example of just how Eve, I mean, came out of Adam, so we are part of Christ. We're born of God, and we are his body. And what did God do when he took Eve? He formed her from the rib, and then he did what? He brought her back to Adam. And they clave to one another, and the two became one. Likewise, Jesus says, you must abide in me. You must cleave to me. You must continue with me. Even as we may be born of his spirit, we also have to be together with him in relationship. We have to walk in the spirit. As we walk in the spirit, we do not gratify the sin nature any longer. So Jesus was put into a deep sleep and now gives new life to those who believe. Just like Adam was put into a deep sleep. Amen. And God took Eve. So here Jesus was put into the sleep of death so that you and I could receive new life. And the word Eve means life giver, kava, life giver, or the revealing of new life. Isn't that interesting? Eve, the revealing of new life. Who are you and I in him? We are to do what? To reveal Christ. Amen? Our heavenly bridegroom. The two shall become one. I say this often, but you know, when you've been married to the same person for many years, you know, you can almost tell when somebody's been married a long time to the same person. Yeah, I don't know why, because they start looking like each other. And you know, when we're married to Christ and we walk with the Lord, we're supposed to bear his image. If we are abiding in him, if we are continuing in him, then we will start to look like Jesus. That's why when we see people, we're always saying, man, you look really familiar. I've seen you somewhere before. And we say, yeah, you're seeing Jesus. Amen. There's a family likeness. The people of God, those who have the Spirit of Christ in them, they actually, we look a lot alike, you know. Yeah, we have our diversities, our skin colors, our characteristics that are very unique. But we want to see Jesus, amen. We want to express Jesus. We want people to see Christ in us. Amen. And when we're filled with him, we will reflect that. We'll be an expression of Christ. So because Eve was part of Adam's flesh, because she was part of him, what happened is he would cleave to her. There was something missing when they were apart. You understand? That's why it's a good thing for a man to find a wife, right? To be married. Not everybody can be like Paul, but it's a good thing if you find a wife, you know? And in Genesis 2:24, God said, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined. There's that word cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the word dabak means to cling or adhere, to catch by pursuit, or to follow hard after. Isn't it interesting that, guys, at least it used to be in history, years ago, it was the guy that pursued the girl, right? I mean, we call it chasing women, whatever, but we were pursuing, right? And today, that's kind of flip-flopped. Even the women are pursuing men now, but, you know, there was always an element of that, but it's in our nature, in our DNA, you know, to pursue or to look for a bride. Likewise, Jesus Christ, our heavenly bridegroom, came to seek and to save that which is lost. He was looking for you. He was looking for me. You get it? He actually pursued you first. We think, oh yeah, I received Jesus. No, if you've received Jesus, it's because he's received you. You had that moment of, if you will, of coming together in intimacy, you being united or joined to the Lord. And he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. One spirit. So his spirit with our spirit coming together. Isn't that amazing how that works? That's why we can show forth the Lord, how we can express him. 1 John 4:9 says, "In this was the love of God manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him." Luke 19:10, "What? For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Now, Moses instructed Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 20. He says, "You shall fear the Lord your God, you shall serve him, and to him you shall hold fast." In the King James, it says cleave. I believe, right? "To him you shall hold fast. You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him, and to him you shall hold fast." Deuteronomy 10:20 in the New Living Translation says it this way. "You must fear the Lord your God and worship him and cling to him." Do you see the type? Just as Adam and Eve, amen, clave to one another, so you also are to cleave to the Lord. Now, how? How do I then hold fast to God? How do I do that? Well, the Jewish sages used to teach that they were to teach or cleave to a teacher. And that is becoming a disciple. Remember, a disciple really means a student, right? And so they could connect to God through that teacher. So a disciple would connect to a teacher, stay close by, often even live with that instructor, and observe their life, observe the way they lived, and also their message, their instruction. Because they believed that by me cleaving to you, I can cleave to God. I can connect to God. Do you understand how that works? Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." We cleave to the Lord, and by doing so, we are connected also to the Father. You see? This is a mystery, but this is the truth. This is what God's desire is that he would have a bride. He would have what we call our church, but the bride, and she would be beautiful, and she would be holy, and she would be chaste, and she would be only for him. She has eyes only for him. She doesn't worship other gods. She doesn't cheat on her heavenly bridegroom. Amen? But she walks closely. And in the time of absence, she keeps herself, knowing that someday, my bridegroom is coming. He's coming. And I want to be ready. I want to be pure. Amen? I don't want to be caught in adultery, cheating on the Lord in that day. I don't want to be caught up in the world, loving the world, serving the world. This means a sin nature, you know. But I want to keep myself for him. And that's what communion is about, folks. It's about marital wine. It's about you and I coming together in covenant. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. No other gods, no other lovers, Jesus only. Amen. He pursues us. He looks for us. We're to cleave to Him. We're not to let Him go. Amen. He actually gave us instructions in John 15 to abide. He says, this is your responsibility as my followers, is to continue. To cleave to the Master, the Teacher. Amen? And by doing so, we abide in the Father and the Son. He said in John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. John 15:10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Jesus told his disciples in John 15:27, and you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. Because you continued with me, because you were faithful in your walk with me. And those who are faithful to the Lord will bear fruit. Those who are faithful to Him will be an expression of Him. Amen? We will bear witness to Him because we have been with Him. Just like the disciples. They marveled. These were ignorant, unlearned fishermen. And yet they spoke with authority. There was something different about these guys because they had been with Jesus. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So Paul contrasts Adam with Christ in 1 Corinthians 15:45. And so it is written, the first Adam became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. First the earthly, then the spiritual. Amen. The man from the earth and then the Lord Jesus Christ. The man from heaven. God and flesh coming together. Incarnate. So what Adam was incapable of doing because he was of the dust, Jesus was able to accomplish because he is from heaven. Now this is important to understand because this all comes back to who we are depending on, who we are really trusting in. The world wants to give you the message that your problem is low self-esteem. Your problem is that you don't have confidence in yourself. So you need to have more confidence in yourself in order to do better. Now, does anybody have a problem with that? Do you think there may be something wrong with that type of thinking? Because tell me anywhere in the life of Jesus, anywhere in Scripture, where Jesus ever told us to be self-confident. Or where he ever exhibited that type of behavior? And did he do anything or do any miracles or have any success because he was depending on his ability? Absolutely not. But see, folks, we are more brainwashed, if you will, than we realize. Even in the church, there's so much stuff that is tossed around and people are, you know, thinking, well, I just don't have enough self-esteem. No, your problem is you are too focused on yourself. And then when you don't live up to the expectations that you put on yourself, you feel broken and miserable. Why? Because your pride was hurt. Oops. Come on, somebody. We set all these expectations and then we don't make the goal and we fail. Well, God never told you to do that. Discover who you are. Find your contentment. Get into rest. Just say, Lord, okay, what are we going to do today? What can I do for you? What can I do for others? Not what's in it for me. It's true. Well, I like that church because it makes me feel good. Well, sometimes God makes us feel good, doesn't he? But before we can feel good, we have to feel bad. That flesh gets offended, you know, when it hears the word. This guy. Our flesh gets offended. I didn't like what they said. Or they didn't even shake, like the old song, they didn't even shake my hand. Get over yourself. Do yourself a favor. Get over yourself. What if nobody recognizes you? What if nobody says you did a good job? What matters is that you've lived for your Father. Amen? You're pleasing your Father. And one day we're all going to see Jesus. And you think he's going to say, oh, you did a good job. You had lots of self-confidence. He says, no, you believed me. You trusted me. You walked with me. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You weren't in it for you. You denied yourself. You disowned yourself and took up your cross to follow me. You loved, amen, the world just like I did. You loved the unlovely. Boy, I'm getting excited over this one. Moses, he set before the people two choices. Life and death. You know? He exhorted the people to do what? To cleave to God. He says, I'm setting before you two choices here, life or death. And here it is in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19 and 20. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, that you may cling to him. For he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Again, folks, independent of Christ, we are unable to save ourselves or redeem ourselves. We're unable to bear the kind of fruit that pleases the Lord. We can accomplish things in this world. We can get rich in this world. We can have all the stuff. But Jesus says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? What can you give in exchange for your soul? I mean, you know, the most important thing is the will of God. The reason why we are here, the purpose for which God has created us and placed us here, that's what we live for. That's my identity. That's who I am in Christ. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away. I've been born again. No longer living according to the old Adamic nature. Every day I just say no and say yes to God. Yes to Jesus. Cleave to him. Abide in him. Pray. Seek his face. Amen. Make music, melody in your heart unto the Lord. Abide in him. Be filled with the Holy Spirit so you can express the fruit of that same Holy Spirit who is the Lord in you. So as Adam was joined to Eve and he became one flesh, so we as the bride of Christ are joined to him in marriage covenant. In Romans 6:4 it says this, I'm almost through. Therefore we are buried with him in baptism into death. Buried with him in baptism into death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Adam was put into a deep sleep. God took the rib, formed Eve, brought her back to him, and they clung to one another. Amen. So likewise, Jesus went into the sleep of death so that we could be born again. He paid the price, amen, for our sins at the cross. Paid in full. Hallelujah. The sin problem has been dealt with. It's already been dealt with. Sin has already been conquered. And if we are in Christ, then you also are an overcomer. Sin no longer has dominion over you. Deny that part of you that wants to rebel. Put it to death daily by clinging to him and new life. You and I, folks, cannot enter into communion with Christ unless we are connected to him through the new birth. Now, you know what I'm talking about, folks. There's so many people that are receiving communion as some type of religious ritual, thinking somehow this is going to make them holy or it's going to, you know, preserve a spot for them in heaven. Because I went and I did the sacraments, or I went and did the Hail Marys, or I whatever the thing might be that you're doing in and of yourself. Well, guess what? You're not able to save yourself. You can do all that stuff and go to hell. Because the problem is that sin is what bars us from His presence. And Jesus Christ has dealt with sin, amen? And we cannot have strength to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil apart from Him and His ability working in us. That's why our responsibility is to abide in, or to cling to Him, to continue with Him. Folks, he who overcomes or endures to the end, the same shall be saved. How many overcomers are here today? We are overcomers because of the grace of God. Not because I'm just such a good person and such a godly Christian. If there's any godliness, it's got to be His godliness. If there's any righteousness, it has to be His. Holiness, His. Christ in me is the hope of glory. Me trusting in Him, no longer confident in myself. Peter didn't dare, after he was broken and converted, to trust himself any longer. Peter had a revelation of what love really is. He had the revelation that, I guess this legend has it, that he wasn't willing to be crucified the same way Jesus was. And they said that they crucified him upside down. They? Who are they? But, folks, he had a conversion. His heart was changed. He had a revelation of who God really is. Job knew God probably more intellectually than anything else, you know, until his great ordeal. But then at the end he says, I heard of you. I heard about you in the hearing of my ear. But now I've seen you. I've had a revelation. Now I know who you really are. And he was undone. He knew he was a mess. I loathed myself. And he sat in sackcloth and ashes as a symbol of just repentance before a holy God. And so it is. We have to have the revelation of who He is. We need to know what love is. What it really is. Not what the world tells us it is. Not what we make it to be. But the love of God that passes knowledge. I'm going to read you just a few more scriptures. Is that okay? As long as I get one amen, we're okay. So I want to read it once again. You've heard this many times, but hear it. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love. And that word is agape. I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gifts of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not agape, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not agape, it profits me nothing. God is agape. Agape came, became a man, and presented, this is who God really is. Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father also. He was the express image of the Father, came to represent the Father in every way. As we saw Jesus, that's what love looks like, folks. And that's what our lives are supposed to look like. I'm not there, and neither are you. We're getting there, amen? We're pursuing, we're clinging to our teacher, our master. Because He's the way that connects us. Amen? So we abide in Him and in the Father together. And then we are able to reproduce through the intimacy in the Spirit the fruit of goodness. Amen? Faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, love, joy, peace, all these good fruits. Not just me being nice today. No, the fruit of His Spirit. I used to get confused when people would knock on the door and I wasn't a Christian, but they seemed so nice, but something just wasn't quite right even then. I was kind of like, they almost seem plastic. You know what I'm talking about? You meet people, they're so nice. You're almost like, okay, what's the agenda here? What do you want, you know? But the love of God, it's not like that. It's beyond, amen? There are no strings. There is no hidden agenda. The love of God is, I'm here because I care. I love. And I want to save. I want to heal. I want to sanctify. I want to deliver. Amen? I want to raise you up. And I want you to walk with me. I want you to hook up with me. Get yoked together with me. And we're going to do this thing together. And you'll discover that my yoke is easy. My burden is light. You'll find rest for your soul. Our heavenly bridegroom, Jesus Christ, has gone away. And we're going to celebrate that today. We're going to remember Him. I'd like to ask everybody to bow your heads just for a moment. I just want to ask you a couple questions. First of all, are you born again? Is Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? Have you come into new life? Have you experienced the new birth where you are a new creation? And you know that Christ is in you because the Spirit of God is bearing witness with your spirit, identifying you as one of His own. You know that. You need to know that. Secondly, you need to ask yourself this question. Am I harboring any bitterness, any unforgiveness towards anybody? We need to settle this right now. You need to realize, folks, that one to your left and to your right, that's your brother, that's your sister. That's the family of God. That is the body of Christ on the earth. If we harbor ill feelings or offense or bitterness or unforgiveness towards a brother or sister, it's like cancer to your soul. You've got to let them go. You got to first reconcile with your brother and sister, and then you come and offer your gift to God. You need to right where you're at. If you can't get to them, there's no way you can deal with it that way. You need to write from your heart. You just need to talk to them and say, I forgive you. I release you. I cancel the debt. You see, Jesus says, if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. You need to let that person go. That's called love. That's called agape love. You ask God for the grace to do it right now. Lord, grant me the grace. Grant me the ability. Help me to let this person go right now. You need to be freed. You can be a rat in a trap that's just dying as the life is being squeezed out of you through unforgiveness. You want to go free from that trap. Let them go. Just let them go. Talk to them. And say, in the name of Jesus, I forgive you. I release you. The debt is canceled. You owe me nothing. And Lord Jesus, I receive today your forgiveness. Thank you for what you did for me on the cross. Thank you that you loved me first and gave yourself for me. I receive you, Lord. And your forgiveness today. If there's someone else, take a moment. God, is there anybody? Ask the Holy Spirit, is there anybody that I'm holding anything against? Sometimes we say, oh, you don't know what they did. Well, maybe you don't know what you did for Jesus. Amen? What you did to Jesus. It was your sin. It was my sin that put Him on that cross. And Jesus was willing to hang from that cross and say, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. Those people that have hurt you, if they really knew how horrible it was, they would have never done it. They didn't know the depths of that because they did it in ignorance. So let them go. Yes, they knew what they were doing, but they did it in ignorance. They didn't know how horrible it really is and how it is, how detestable it is in the sight of God. But Jesus became our sacrifice. God placed upon him the sins of the world. The sin problem has been dealt with. You deal and you forgive those people right now, and God will forgive you. Just receive it right now. If you've done it, I want you just to say, thank you, Lord. I receive your promise that if I confess my sins, you are faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I receive your forgiveness today. I've seen this many times before, but I had a young man approach me the other day who was struggling with that very thing, of forgiving someone that had hurt him. But when he made the decision to obey the Lord, to do what God said to do, he made that choice. He said it felt like just some hands were on me, heavy hands, and it was lifted off. You know, how good it is to be free. How good it is to have a clear conscience. How good it is to be able to lay your head down on your pillow at night and be at rest because it is well with your soul. Amen. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Know that one? It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. I hope you can say that today and mean that. I hope you can sing Amazing Grace and really know what that is. I sang that song at funerals before I knew Jesus and didn't really know what it was about. Just I liked the song. It made me feel good. But you gotta know that it's God's grace that saves you. It's not the grace that you give yourself. You got to trust in Him. Only He can save. And He can make it well with your soul. Well, today, Lord, I'm thankful for your mercy. I'm thankful for your grace. And thank you for what you've done for me, Lord. I'm putting my trust in you. I'm turning my eyes upon you. I am believing you today. Lord, I realize that in me there's no good thing. But you are my righteousness. You are my holiness. You are my redemption. You are my all in all. In Christ alone, I place my trust. Jesus at the center of it all. Hallelujah. Because it's all about you, Lord. It's no longer about me. It's all about you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God.